Okay. And put it back on hold, right?
That word transforms your life. You become more and more Christ-like, you know, and that humbleness
okay. just comes. We got the microphone working. Hopefully it don't make that noise like before. I think because I didn't have it on hold, maybe. Anyway, it's 2:27, I believe I just said. 2014. It's a Thursday night Bible study at Faith Bible Church. And for anybody listening on the DVDs, I'm Paul A. Bobeck III. And we're going to be teaching the name of the message tonight will be Who You Are Motivates What You Do. So I'm going to open up in prayer, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 1. We're going to start out in verse 1 to verse 9. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you, Lord. We don't even want to ask you for anything when we praise you, God. We just want to praise you for who you are. For your love for us, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us a consistent identity that can't be changed in your Son. Everything's in your Son. The mystery is all about your Son, what he's accomplished. And I thank you for those you brought out today, God. I thank you for Traveling Mercy, and we pray for Traveling Mercy on their way home. And I pray your Holy Spirit will be the true teacher here tonight. I pray that He speaks through me, and He illumines every mind, that we might grasp these truths, Lord, and that they might grasp our heart and our mind, that we might apply them to bring Christ glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So again, we're going to go to Ephesians 1, 3 through 9. Or 1 through 9, I'm sorry. Seems funny having a pastor here when he's not preparing for... If I do Sunday school, he's back there doing his notes, and then he says he can't concentrate. He always has to go someplace else because I got a big mouth, I think. So... we start out, again, we always got to ask the question, what? Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? So you see, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, so it's Paul's writing to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. That word faithful has the idea of full of faith. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So they were listening to the Word of God, they were studying the Word of God, and so that made them full of faith. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is the Holy Spirit sending us a message too. What? Grace and peace to you. You know, one day it won't be like that. After the rapture, it's what? Going to be that 7-year tribulation? And and 3.5 years in that, God's pouring out His wrath, and vials are poured out, different things. It's going to be a terrible time. But today, we get grace and peace from God. And unless you understand you have peace with God, we're justified, what? By His blood. You can't have the peace of God. I believe you were talking about that last week. To know God's grace, we are so blessed. I mean, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. But to know we got peace with God, I didn't used to know that. I went to a Pentecostal church, and, you know, there was... I love my Pentecostal and charismatic brother and sisters, but there's a lot of legalism in the Pentecostal church. And I would always try and be committed and break... You know, I'd recommit to the commitment I broke last week, and you keep trying, and you just get burdened down. You know, like I've heard you, Pastor, say, it's chains. You know, once you understand grace, them chains are broken, you know. And you know why legalists don't like... When you understand right division so you can understand the grace of God, they can't control you. See, it's the Holy Spirit that controls us. See, we're freed. Freed from the bondage of the law, from performance, from trying to work it up in our flesh. But we're not under law, but what are we under? Grace. And grace teaches us. See, we're free to serve now. And that's because it's a motivation of gratitude, thanksgiving. There's a joy. You know, a guy at my work, I was telling the pastor, he says, so when you go teach the Thursday night Bible studies in Sunday school or when I do the videos on YouTube and Facebook. You get paid for that, right? And I said, no. He goes, what do you mean? Why are you doing it? I go, I got my reward. I love doing it. You know, to be used by God, to touch people's lives, see them transformed, changed, built up, edified, comforted. You know, when they go through things, sometimes you don't know what people are going through, but the Holy Spirit does, and He works in their heart through this word. And so we have grace and peace. So again, I can't just read this verse as somebody would just read it, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord. Paul, like I said, is a Jew, and he's expressive. You know, that's why they make good comedians, because they're very expressive. So when Paul's writing this, he's thinking, have you ever thought, start thinking about all you're blessed with, you know, your spiritual blessings, and that God loves you unconditionally, that He's forgiven you your past, your present, and your future sins He's already dealt with. Sin can never come in between us. And you just start, you know, you thank you, Lord. Sometime if you're alone, you know, raise your hands and Lord, just praise you and thank you. And this is Paul right here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And you notice, see, it's all in Christ. Nothing separated from Christ. It's in Christ. And you're complete in Colossians, it says. We're not second-rate redheaded stepchild with freckles and buck teeth, you know. And if anybody's got that, you know, that's just the same, you know. You are complete in Christ, blessed with every spiritual, equipped. That's why we can walk in the Spirit, learn to walk in the Spirit, and walk consistent with our identity. See, it comes down to find out who you've been made in Christ. You open this up and it's like a gift, a present. And you open up and you find, wow, look at this, gold and diamonds, all these spiritual gifts, and you find out who you are. And it's not by what you feel, because I always say, if I went by my feelings, I know how short I come up every day. I'm not always the best husband, the most patient stepfather. Yeah, so get convicted up here, you know. I'm not always focused on the Lord every second I desire to be, you know. And I'm learning more and more when things try to distract me, because you have Satan. Well, you have the flesh, but its power's been broke, but it's still there. So, and Satan works through the flesh. So thoughts come, you got the world trying to conform you into its way of thinking, the way Satan has things. And so when you start applying the Word of God and applying your identity, it's like, no, that's not me anymore. That's not me, that was me and Adam. We were just talking about that, right, brother? That thought isn't me. And so you don't got to dwell on your failures and your thoughts. What do? You reckon, God said you died with Christ, you were buried, you rose with Christ. Now, do we feel that all the time? No. But see, feelings follow thoughts. When you start thinking about what God says and you believe it, what happens? You start getting the feelings. God said, put your feelings, see, the world does it like this. I feel it, I think it, I feel it, I do it, right? Feels good. Do it. God works the exact opposite. God gives us His Word, and it's not if we feel like forgive as you've been forgiven, right? You feel like forgiving somebody when they've hurt you, when they've talked behind your back, when they called you a hyper-dispensationalist, you know, when they call you a heretic because you're teaching truth. You feel like forgiving them? No. But God says, put your feelings aside. Do what I said, and by faith we apply it, because we trust God. Father knows best, and what happens? You get the feelings then. See, it's the exact opposite. We're either going to be programmed by Satan and the world through our flesh, or we're going to be programmed by God's Word, by God through His Word, and through His Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important to get into this Word. Get the Word in us, because what's to say the Word of God that worketh in us, energizes us? If you ain't getting into your spiritual Wheaties, what happens when you don't get your spirit Wheaties? You get weak, right? Your breakfast. So we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. So you're complete in Christ. Now we just got to know what they are, and by faith, apply it through trust. And grace is the motivation. We love God, why? Because He first loved us. See, it's always God's the initiator, and we're the responders. But what happens is, and I think it's a wonderful place. There's a lady on Facebook. Actually, I want to pray for her, Lana, before we end today. I had mentioned we would. She's going through so much, and I'm thinking, and I'm always praying every morning, actually. She's just sharing on Facebook the grace of God, right, the vision. She's all on fire, but she's going through so much, and I'm thinking, what a good place to be in. Not when you're there, you don't think it. But this is where you can experience that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is where all the study and all, now it comes in application. Give God thanks in all things, right? This is God's will. Why? Because He's working all things out for our good. If He's working out for your good, well, I don't understand how, why ain't God? Right? Do we know everything infinitely? As God, God knows, you know, the future, He knows the past, He knows every little detail how to work things out, and He'll work it out for our good. So, we're complete in Christ. So this is part of our, there's a lot more to it, but just to get a heads up, and because we got a lot more to go, I'm just going to verse 9. According as He has chosen us in Him. Now, where it says He chose us in Him, our beloved Calvinist brothers and sisters, see, predestination. No, if you notice something, this is about believers. It's in Christ what He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He didn't say He's going to bless you with every spiritual blessing and save you. See, this is about believers. And how does He choose us? Through the gospel. I don't got time to get into it, but in Thessalonians, I believe it talks about. But according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. So what did He choose? Not that we'd be saved, but that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Let's stop there for a sec. How is God seeing you? Now you might be thinking, probably not too good, because this week I haven't been too good. You know, I missed Bible study. I ain't been praying a lot. You know, I screamed at my wife. I disrespected my husband. I was harsh with the kids. And God sees you holy, without blemish, perfect in His sight. Because in Christ. That's what we got to see. That's living by faith and not by sight. Sight would be, well, God's got to... I used to feel like that. God was disgusted with me. You know? But no, I didn't know then. Even then. Even though I didn't know it, He sees us in Christ, clothed with Christ Jesus. That's why He says, throw off them old dirty rags and put on Christ, because this is who you are. And if that's who you are, if that's your identity, isn't it natural to walk in your identity? You know what I mean? Because now it's natural. Now, if you don't see yourself as God sees you, then what? You're not going to walk like that. You're going to walk like this, the way you're thinking that how God sees you. So, you're holy and without blame before Him in love. God loves you. You're His beloved, He says, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. See, so it's always predestined what? By Jesus Christ to Himself. And that adoption is you're a full-grown son, a full-grown adult with all privileges and responsibilities. And it's where is it? It's all in Christ. None's apart from Christ. As a believer, it's all in Christ. That's why we serve Him. That's why we worship Him. That's why we adore Him. Because it's all because what He did. Nothing what we did. I mean, what did we do? Believe? You know what I mean? Some people call it easy believism. Well, it's so easy. Why don't they believe it, right? You know? But that's all we did. We trusted what another did. And we're saved by grace. What? Through faith. It's a gift of God, not by works. Paul says it in all these different ways, you know. But then once we're saved, not to stay saved. We don't stay saved by working, but we're God's workmanship, created unto good works. God wants to do some good things to you. Ain't you glad you ain't got to wake up in the morning and say, another day. It's boring. Life's boring. What's my meaning? What's my purpose? Why am I here? That's what people in the world do, and they ain't got. You know, might as well just go get high, you know, because this is all we got. So let's try and make the most of it, you know. But for a believer, you can, you know, I wake up in the morning and I had heard it from somebody else, you know. Bob George used to say that, and I thought, that's a good idea. So we can apply good things that we learn. Here I am, Lord, I ain't much, but take me and use me. I know you can because I'm righteous in Christ. And he's just looking for how to, not your abilities, he's looking for your availability. And he says, according to the good pleasure of his will. So, it's God's good pleasure to bless you. God's a giver, man. Yeah? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. You know, people were born in this world wanting acceptance. Why do you think people get into gangs? Sometimes. Well, sometimes they do got a good home. But sometimes they might have money. Both parents are making good cash. But there is not that feeling of belonging in the house. They give them some, like my buddy's father used to give him $10 a day. He says, go get lost. And he always felt unloved, I remember. Actually, he was a funny kind of a guy. He always felt sorry for himself, you know. And people would treat him the way he thought of himself, you know. And anyway, in Christ, God accepts us. People in gangs are trying to hook up to get this acceptance. Like me, when I moved from Utah, I was 11 years old, moved into one of the worst neighborhood in the city. And I'm this little square kid with the crew cut when crew cuts weren't in style, right? And I got green jeans on, you know. Everybody else got silk pants and Italian knits. But I learned real quick. But you know what? I started learning how to be accepted. Now, my boys made me, we used to call ourselves the family. You know, we would look out for each other and we felt accepted. And that's an identity you get. So sometimes people join gangs for acceptance or what? Get into drugs, right? Young people, for acceptance. You know, maybe they don't even want to, but there's that peer pressure, because why? I want to be accepted. But let's bring it into the religious realm. What about legalism? I got to dress a certain way. And there is a thing of, in Scripture, Paul says that women should adorn themselves modestly. So we should be modest, but adorn yourself. Make yourself attractive, and you know, and a man should be a certain way too. And so, in legalistic circles, you got to dress this way, you got to talk this way, you got to do this, don't do that. To what? Be accepted. But see, when you know you're accepted in Christ, you don't have to be controlled by them things. You have meaning. See, there's spirit. We have spiritual needs, human beings. You need meaning and purpose for life. You need unconditional love and acceptance. Unconditional acceptance. Everybody's on Facebook. I see a lot. I wish somebody would just love me for who I am. And then there's this post that says, people say, I wish somebody loved me so much that they would die for me who I am. And it says, this is Jesus. I did that. You know. So we have that in Christ. And that's why we're so blessed. We don't have to get tossed to and fro, even in the church, by every wind of doctrine. You know. In whom we have redemption through His blood. So we're redeemed by Christ, right? We're redeemed out of this world. And matter of fact, in Colossians, I'm teaching on Facebook and YouTube, I'm just getting to the part how He's transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We're not under Satan's power anymore. He can't even make us do anything. The flesh can't make us do anything. The world can't. That's been broke. Not only did Christ forgive us, He broke the power of sin. That's why, to me, grace is much more convicting, because we never got an excuse to sin. You know? You think about it. You know, when if you're under legalism, or like them deliverance ministries, oh, you got that demon of lust in you, and we got to cast it out. Believers, he in you is not stronger than he was in the world, I guess, right? But, and you can blame it on people. You can blame, oh, demons, or, you know, oh, I got in the flesh. See, when you understand grace, God gives us no excuse. But He also doesn't give us condemnation. He gives us light. And he tells us, you've been freed from that. Now walk in this freedom. Uh-huh. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This must be a mistranslation. I thought forgiveness of sins and according to our confession. Isn't that what you've heard before? Got to get out of fellowship. And I thought the wages of sin is death, not out of fellowship. See, tradition has went so long, it just sounds right. And when somebody comes and says, you have redemption, that means you possess it. How many times we ask God to redeem us? I don't hear too many people. They say, oh no, he did it once. Well, it says, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's once. All of our past sins, today's sins, and the sins till the day we die were taken back, put on Christ. Because all of them over 2,000 years ago were in the future, right? They're dealt with. That's why God's not dealing with us in our sins. He's dealing with us in our identity, who we are in Christ. And the motivation is His grace. So we have it. You don't get forgiven, you live in forgiveness. And people go, oh, you got to watch teaching that grace stuff because people just go out and sin. Yeah, they'll just sin. Yeah, there's a chance, you know, people take advantage of God's grace. And matter of fact, to an extent, we all do. Because we do sin sometimes. When you, as you're growing, you don't become sinless. But as you're growing, you start sinning less. Because you're taking and applying, and God's taking His time with us. He's patient with us. You know, sometimes you go through a doldrum in your spiritual life, or, you know, Satan attacks our mind and stuff. That's why I hope everybody prays for the pastor and prays for Dave. Keep me while you're there too, and Steve. Because Satan will attack people in leadership. That's why I pray for Paul Sadler and everyone at the Berean and the Berean Bible Institute, because that's where he's going to really try. Because if somebody in leadership falls, that really affects people. You know, when I used to be a pastor, I used to try and be there on time. And I didn't take any money because we were a small church. And there wouldn't have been nothing wrong with it, you know, because that's scriptural to support those who are above you and teaching you. But I was doing my dog training, and I would be going, I'd go all over, go to people's homes and train their dogs. And as I'm going up Cicero, you got hookers waving to you, you know, and I'm a man, you know. And like you said, you see all them big things going, driving down the highway, right? You know, dancers and all this stuff. But I says, one time I was telling him, I said, why do you think I could do that? Why do you think I don't do that? Or why do you think I try and be around time? Because I love yous. And if something, because they look up to a pastor, you know, or somebody in leadership. And if I fell into something, it would affect so many people. And because you love them. That's first, you don't want to bring shame to God. You want to do God's will. And after that, your family, your church, you know, so that's why we don't do things sometimes. But he says here in verse 8, because that's why I was saying that you gotta, they say, oh, you gotta watch teaching that grace stuff because people just go out and sin. But it, look what it says, what God did in verse 8, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. God knew what He was doing. I think God knows. If God says to teach grace, I think that's what we should be teaching. And I think the ones who say, watch how you teach that, they're not teaching where God wants them to teach. Or they're not rightly dividing the Word. That's God's method for Bible study today. And when we're not doing that, we're out of God's will. And you get a mixed, confused message. You get this, trying to mix grace, some Paul said, with some Christ said, where He said He didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill law. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, He's teaching under law. Or what James, you know, the books, who's James writing to? Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. But the 12 scattered tribes, see, they're going to need, He was writing to the Hebrew, that kingdom church back then, and also, after the rapture, they're going to need some doctrine. Them books are perfect, it fits right in with them. And so you can mix them, we can learn from them. All scripture is useful for what? For teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, right? But God knew what he was doing. And if God, in verse 9, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, that secret that wasn't revealed till Paul, and all that Christ accomplished. That's what Paul says, where he fills up in his flesh what's lacking in Christ. Well, what's lacking in Christ? What he did to his death there, only the knowledge. It wasn't revealed, that mystery, that secret, until Paul. And it says, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. So it's God's good pleasure to bless you, to make you who you are in Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians 1, 1 and 2, a couple books back. And it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, that's set apart. How were they set apart? By the Holy Spirit. They were taken out of Adam, placed into Christ. Now set apart for the intelligent purpose they were created for. For what? For God to indwell and express his self out of. That are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So he's writing to the saints. Now, he's calling the Corinthians saints, ain't he?
Yep.
Now, we think of a saint as what? This person who really holy, like, you ever hear of somebody in their religion? Oh, she's a holy woman. People go there and she heals people. You know, or we think of someone who 200 years after they die, they canonize them, right? No, that's not God's definition of a saint. That is religion. They try and build certain people up here so then they could intercede, mediate for you and that, because they don't believe that Christ is the only mediator between man and God. And so the saints were the most lasciviously carnal church. The Galatians were probably legalistically the most carnal. And he has to deal with them. But you know what he calls them both? Saints. That's who you are. And then what's he do? He tells you who you are, who's God made you. Then he tells you how you should walk. Why? Because that's who you are. Just be who you are in Christ. So, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, reveals who we are in Christ. What? Then he tells us how to walk as saints, right? They say, but I don't know how. You ain't been reading this word. Or if you've been reading it and you ain't getting it, you're not depending on the Holy Spirit to illumine, turn the light on. That's so important in Bible study. You could do all the hermeneutics. That's the science of biblical interpretation. It's a big word. I think they use big words to make it sound more important than it is, right? It's the queen of the sciences, they say. See, there's rules in Bible study. It helps you to get the context. But see, even going to the Greek, and I like going to the Greek, because that's what the originals were written in, and it can sometimes give you a little bit more flavor in it. But the Greeks speak Greek, and a lot of Greeks don't know the word. You know, so it takes the Holy Spirit. That's why we depend on Him. It's the Father. You know, when I start studying this word, even when I'm in a hurry, I've learned to say, stop. Father, if your Spirit don't teach me, I'm not going to know it. You know. And He wants us to know it more than we want to know it, actually. So He will show it to us. So go to Ephesians 4, 7. Because we're looking at our identity in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. where I'm going to go kind of fast because I'm going to cover a lot in this. Where would he say it? When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, and that he might fill all things. So when was this? After his resurrection, right? So the apostles and prophets are not Peter, James, John. These are apostles and prophets after his resurrection. They were already disciples and apostles and prophets, weren't they? These are in the early church. Before the Word of God was completed, you had apostles and prophets. Paul talks about in... I'll just go there real quick. It's in Ephesians 3, 2. 3.
You mean?
No, Ephesians 3:5. Starting in verse 4. Whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Remember, Christ gave the Apostle Paul. He's a steward of the mystery of Christ. So who gave it to Paul? Christ directly, right? Now, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So in the early church, before the Paul had got in 2 Corinthians 12, I think, 2 of them, right? Anyway, Paul says, I'll come to Revelation. So he got it over a period of time. Since he was saved in Acts all the way till by the time you get to Colossians, Ephesians, and the books, he had that whole, all that information, all that doctrine, all that truth, our identity, our instructions for the body of Christ, all about grace. And so it was revealed to him, but during that time, then as apostles and prophets got the message from him, the Holy Spirit turned it on in their mind so they could teach it. So that's what we're talking about. These would be in the body of Christ, before the body of Christ was, the mystery was completed, Paul. Once you had that, like Paul says, when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect, they've talked about the gifts of tongues and prophecy and knowledge, that will be done away. Well, you don't need it now. You know why? God speaks directly. We got a completed Word of God. He's not going to speak, Pastor Kurtz, this is God. You know, because Satan comes as an angel of light, don't he? How do you know that ain't Satan? How do you know what Satan's voice is? How do you know what God's voice is? So how do you know what he's coming as? He gives us this word. It's completed. And this is, as we're studying it, and we're memorizing it, and we're meditating on it, what happens? The Holy Spirit starts talking to us, bringing the word to our minds. You know, when you're going through things, the Holy Spirit, say you're going through, like my friend Alana, a very stressful time. I won't get into the problem, but I mean, really tough. That's where the Holy Spirit says, be anxious for nothing. Well, what do I do, God? I'm so stressed. I'm so focused. I got mountains in my life. What do I do? Be anxious for none. Be careful, full of care, for nothing but what? By prayer. Oh, pray. Now, you got your mind off that, right? The mountains, to our great God who's bigger than the mountains, and prayer and supplication. So I'm bringing it to Him. I'm getting it. I'm not holding it in. I'm pouring it out to Him by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. How can I thank God for this? Again, Romans 8:28. He's working all things for your good. This is God's will that we give thanks in all things, right? And so see the Holy Spirit. And then what happens? The peace of God that passes all understanding protects your mind, your thoughts and your emotions, your heart. Psychiatrists can't give you that. They can't even understand it. They can study things, because you got to remember where the roots of something come from. It's from fallen man's ideas how to help fallen man. But see, what you're doing, you're going to the council of the ungodly, and that's not wise. That's God's prescription for depression, for stress. And our problem is sometimes we don't apply it. And sometimes, you know what? You know, Paul talks about that evil day, and he's talking about Satan, fiery darts he throws. Sometimes I think we just get bombarded, and before you know it, it's just like somebody started just coming up punching you, pow, pow, pow. You're walking around. But like Paul says, I paraphrase it, he says, we get knocked down, but we don't get knocked out. See? Because what happens is, you do a little step back. Like, I was in martial arts for 6 years. A lot of times you step out of it and you do a parry or a block. See, so you get your head together a little bit. And that's it. We just have to, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings that to our mind. We got to take every thought captive, right? And then deal with it. Start praying. Oh, all right, Lord. And you just start applying these to the details of our life. And that takes growth. I don't think I'm going to go through this whole thing because I got some more. All right, let me go a little bit farther. Anyway, he talked about giving apostles, prophets, evangelists in verse 11, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, so to help mature. And then he talks about so we don't get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There's all kinds of stuff going through the church today. Listen to it, and it sounds pretty good. Watch Joel's thing. Joyce Myers, Benny Hinn. That sounds pretty good. God would, you got faith, especially if you send in some money to their ministry, God's just going to pour it out. If you got faith, it's a force, and words that are contained in it is forth. Because we're little gods, you speak forth, and you create your own reality. That's witchcraft. That's a mind science cult. See, you'll get sucked in. If you don't know this Word of God, rightly divided, you will get caught up in the things. And it's a shame. I've been doing research. There's a place right off 80. It's one of the big ones. A guy used to be on TV. And nobody had their Bibles out. My heart was heavy. I wasn't there thinking, oh, I rightly divide the Word, and I'm not going to get sucked in by this stuff because I'm a big doctrine head. No. My heart was heavy. Nobody had, and me and Dean, it was Dean when he was with Dina, and I'm showing them verses where this dude's just taken out of context, and people are going, looking at us, and my heart was like heavy, because the body of Christ, one thing that if they don't get into this Word, but then even get into the Word, because Satan don't care if you get in the Word. Because he can mislead you. Jordan did a good tape series on the most dangerous thing is studying the Word without rightly dividing it. Because the Word of God's powerful. And if you don't rightly divide it, there's instructions, different instructions, contradictory, and seems contradictory, but when you see there to two different groups, it's no longer contradictory in your mind. But we need to rightly divide it. And then, go to verse 21. If so, that you have heard of him, or 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so, that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Where did they learn it from? Paul. Where do we learn what Christ's will is for today, what God's will is today? Through Paul's epistles. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So the sin nature's been broke, but it's there. Its power's been broke. We don't got to get in. And it's corrupting. It gets slicker. And if it can't get you coming this way, it's sort of like a, like, remember the old cartoon? The dam? And it popped one hole. And you plug that hole in, and all of a sudden, pop, then the guy's got his other hand up, then he's got his toes going in, I can't do very good because my legs are so short. I can only get the ones on the bottom. But the flesh tries to come up another way. That's why knowing this Word of God, because the Holy Spirit will sometimes we get, freaked out when we get tempted, or get afraid, because we're tempted, say, to sin. Or, as I was by Joanna's the other day, I appreciate so much. She was taking so much time doing the videos I was doing for Facebook and on YouTube, and appreciate it so much. But she was saying, just had a nice conversation with you guys. She's saying to her husband, you know, worry's a sin. And she said, ain't it, Paul? Because I was teaching about it one day. Says, be anxious about nothing, or full of care. Careful. So when we are anxious, that's sin. But sometimes we get freaked out then, like, oh no, you know. But see, them should be things that should turn our focus to Christ, not away. See, because on our own, they're too big for us. But when we're controlled, I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens us. So when we face things or get tempted by things, it should just be an alarm, a light that says, all right, get your focus, get your attention. And I think it's what I call holy habits. You know, my holy habits. But, you know, holy, healthy, whole. And it becomes habits. So you start doing, when you start applying the word, it starts coming natural. It's like a habit. And then all of a sudden, instead of, you know, where Satan could get you here, the flesh come, can't get you there. So it comes another place. Because he's always looking, I'm sure, for that weakness, you know, that openness in the armor. But then you got the word, and all of a sudden when he comes that way, it's like, you know, you put up, you know, the shield. You bring out the sword. That's the only offensive thing. And he can't get us there. But it's going to be a lifelong thing. But we have a total victory program in grace. That's why I said there's no excuse, son. But there's an abundant life in grace. I think you learn, as you start applying, you start liking what's going on, you know, because you're experiencing joy. What's fruit of spirit? Love. I've got more love for my family, for my enemies, my children, people I work with. Love, and out of love comes what? Joy and peace. And you just enjoying it. Life is enjoyable, even though you go through things. You know, I can't remember a verse I was going through the other day, but it's in long suffering, joy, and peace. That's part of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, deceitful lust, so they're corrupting. So you put off. See, that sin nature wants to keep animating something we died to who we were in Adam. That's not us no more. Its power's been broke, but it's there. So he's trying to cling. You know, it would be like, I don't know if it's a good illustration from the pulpit. Close your eyes, Pastor. Here.
It's okay for the
guy. Say some guy started dating a prostitute, okay? But then he realized, he tried to change her, and he realized, I can't change her. That's just, she wants to go up through that. And so he breaks up with her. Well, as he's walking away, what's she going to do? No! Don't win! Right? She's going to be begging him. You know? See? But he knows he can't do none. And actually, sometime a person's got to hit bottom before they'll do something. So he's just got to cast it off. Put his new coat on. You know, it's like when we're, it says we were in the kingdom of darkness. We were controlled, going by the course of this world, controlled by Satan, right? Mm-hmm. Not possessed, but outwardly controlled. And you didn't even know. You know, you didn't know. People go, ain't nobody going to tell me to do none, right? Well, your flesh is telling you that. You're being controlled. That's why people in Hollywood, you know, we're free. You know, peace, love, joy, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? They think they're free. No, they're not. They're bound up, and their lives get destroyed. So he says, we cast off. That old man is not us. Realize, that's not us. I don't want to do them things anymore, because that's not me. And what? Put on Christ. Sink. Clothe yourself in Christ. What is it? It's what's true inwardly What is clothing? What people see on the outside, right? What's true inwardly? Remember the transfiguration? Remember what it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans chapter 12? I believe that's the same word where Christ was transformed. Remember on the Mount of Olives, I believe, before his disciples? Nothing was different inwardly with him. He was just shown what was true inwardly, and it was manifest, and he's shown his clothes were what? Like the sun, right? He's radiating who he is. God and the Son of God. Well, that's the same thing like us. When you put on Christ, it's what's true inwardly. Other people are being able to see him manifested, and our lives what? Adorn the gospel. What's adorn? Looking attractive, you know? But when we don't apply, and I come up as short as anyone, what happens? They're seeing the old man that ain't... That's being a hypocrite. Not someone who's trying to learn and grow, but making mistakes, falling, getting up. That's not a hypocrite. A hypocrite, as a believer, is somebody, you're holy without blemish, perfect in his sight, but you're acting like Adam. That's hypocritical, so that's not who you are. You got the wrong mask, you know. Throw that mask off, and you don't even need the mask. Let it be manifest outwardly. Pastor, you ever feel like the clock is your enemy? I says, I know that wasn't you who put that big clock up back there. It's got to be somebody in the congregation that likes a short service. So, Paul shows us how to put on a new man, what it looks like. He said in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So, Romans 12, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? And then Paul tells us, think on what? These things that are true. See, it's all in our thought. It begins in our thought life. God works in our attitudes. He's not just trying to stop outward. That's what legalism does. Stop doing these outward things. See, God starts inwardly. He works in our attitudes, so there's permanent transformation. And then it comes outwardly. And so... So you should put on, in verse 24, put on a new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's who we are inwardly. Wherefore? So how does that look? Wherefore? Putting away lying. Why should you stop lying? Because God doesn't lie. And we're children of God. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why? What's the Holy Spirit called? The Spirit of Truth. He wants to speak truth to us. For we are members of one another. See, we're not only Christ is ahead, we're a member, we're a part of Him, but we're a part of each other. That's why we can look at even the people in the church that we don't click with their personalities. And if we say, God, give me eyes to see them like you see them. And remember, they're a part of us. Like I says, I might not like, when I was younger, not so much now, I always had big feet, and I didn't like my feet. But boy, I sure wouldn't like to try and walk without them. You know? They're good for swimming, you know, I like paddles. Yeah. But even we're part of one another. And if we remember that, we'll be there for one another. And this church has been such a blessing to my family, how you guys have just been there for us and other ones in the church. And that shows grace in action, you know, and I think it probably warms the pastor's heart, that letter you read. The guy had been in how many churches, and he said this was his favorite. He just seen the grace of God working. And he says, be angry. So is that wrong? Is it wrong to be angry? No. Again, I mentioned before, anger can be a motivator. When you let your anger deal with you to deal with the problem, not the person, not when you direct it at a person. So be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So if you're going to sleep thinking about something that's your husband, your wife especially, or your kids, or it could be whatever against somebody, deal with it then. Because otherwise you wake up in the morning and you're still thinking about it. Usually you'll think about the same thoughts, like sort of like you had all these dreams and now let's get back to it and it connects. And what happens, it builds up and builds up. So if you deal with it right then, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And if you see, Paul is quoting this from the Old Testament, and there's a little bit more, I only got 5 minutes, I won't go to it, a little bit more to it. He's talking about, I'll meditate, you know, on my bed. You know, you're thinking about God's Word. What if you're thinking about somebody did to you, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings, forgive as you've been forgiven. Oh, how am I going to sleep now? Thank you. But you know what I mean? See, now, you're right, God. You're right. I sin every day against you. Who am I? And I'm not God. I want to forgive them. Thank you that I can. See, that's why a lot of believers don't know how to forgive. There's so much unforgiveness in the church. I heard another pastor evangelist, if you want. He said he's been in hundreds of churches, and he said the biggest problem in churches is unforgiveness. And you know why, probably? Well, one thing, it's attitude. But I think believers are not taught complete forgiveness of God. See, if we don't understand God's unconditional love and His forgiveness for us, what do we got to offer anybody else? You know, we have to understand that. And verse 27, neither give place to the devil. See, I think anger, when not dealt with properly, it comes out, and Satan uses that in our lives. It could be outward anger towards others, or it could be you're either going to pour it out or you're going to push it in. And you're going to be angry at yourself. And usually, you know what happens? You're angry at God too. But of course, we can't say that. You know. But God knows what our thoughts are. So we have to deal with that anger God's way. Let him who that stole steal no more. So see, the Holy Spirit through Paul doesn't just tell us what to stop doing. Well, this is how I make a living. He always tells us what to do. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. See, get a job. You can feel good about working. I feel good. I make $9.50 an hour. I don't make much. But I thank God every day for my job. Even I just got, thank God they gave me another position that's a lot better, same amount of money, but I'm still thanking God. Even with all the hard work and my back start hurting and pulling out, I'm like singing, Lord, I just want to praise you. You're worthy to be praised. And I'm singing and I'm focused on Him, but also the guys I'm working with are seeing that joy with the Lord. They probably think, I wish He wouldn't sing about it with His voice, but you know, they see the joy when you focus. So, see, you can feel good about working, but that he may have to give to him that need it. Now you can be used of God. You know what I mean? That's good. You know, it's true what Jesus said. This is transdispensational. It's better to give than to receive. I mean, it feels good to be able to be there for someone, whether it's someone in the body of Christ or someone out of the body of Christ, because sometimes that's how you win them. Or you win a hearing from them. When they see the love of God in you, they're more apt to want to listen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. This is one that sometimes bothers me when I'm on Facebook. Sometimes I see believers, and they share, and even people understand right division, but I'll see some swear words. And I'm thinking, you're just ruining your whole thing of unbelievers are going, oh, Christian, right? They swear just like me. You know, it just shouldn't be. But what should we then? But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. See, that we can be used of God to minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now see, people, I think, would say, oh, you know, you're doing this. You're committing fornication. You're stealing. You're doing that. Grieving the Holy Spirit of God, right? Stealing. But look at where he's getting to, because he already mentioned anger. Now I think this is what grieves the Holy Spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now look at this, how intimate we have with the Holy Spirit. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Even if you don't apply what's going on, and we don't do it all the time. Even if you don't, the Holy Spirit loves you so much, He's never going to leave you or never going to forsake you. You ain't going to find that in the world. But this is what I think this is what grieves Him. Let all bitterness, see, that's when you don't deal right with the anger, it becomes bitterness, and what happens then? It builds and builds, and wrath. What is that? Some of you just explodes. And anger and clamor, that some of you is just screaming, making a lot of noise. And evil speaking, so getting somebody back, I'll show them, I'll tear down their reputation. Be put away from you with all malice. You want to get them back. And so what do you replace that with? So you take this off and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And I'm like right on time, so I got to end. I said, I don't understand how Dave gets a... I exaggerate saying 1,000 verses, but it seems like he gets about 100 verses in 45 minutes, and it makes sense, and it's not like he's rushing. And me, I says, I got 10 verses, and I'm figuring out how can I get the last ones in and make it make sense when I close. So we'll close with that, close with prayer. And keep my friend Alana. She's going through so much. She's just bombarded. It's like I think that what Paul was talking about, that evil day. And she just needs some encouragement.
Pray for Vanessa.
Hi, Ben.
She has to have surgery tomorrow.
Vanessa?
Yeah, they have a lump. And she's going into the University of Illinois in the morning.
And my aunt, too, they found lung cancer. Is there anything else?
My father-in-law is still in rehab. Just hopefully he can be done real soon and come back home to familiar
surroundings. Amen. Pastor, would you like to close with prayer? No? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I hope I don't forget any requests, but you hear everything, Father. We pray for my sister's father-in-law. We thank you, Father. He's come here, and I guess he just loves our pastor. And thank you for his response to your grace. And so we just lift him up to you, Father. And we thank you that you care about us, every detail of our lives. And I pray for Atlanta. Lord, she's going through so much, and she's such a light, as I know her on Facebook, and even often me and Mary talking on the phone. And she just loves you, Lord, and she responds to your grace and wants to share it so much, and your word rightly divided. And I think she's just getting one of the attacks, a lot of bombardment from the enemy. But, Lord, you're in her. And may you just show her, Father, that she can do all things through Christ. May your spirit bring deeply and lit so much your word to her mind, and that she might keep her focus on you, Lord. And I pray you work in them details in her life, Father. And I can't think of any of the other prayer requests, Lord. But I pray, Father, that we would take what we learned tonight, that we wouldn't just leave it here, but we would meditate on what's in your word. It don't matter what I said, but what's in your word, Lord. And that we would start applying it more and more, that we might adorn the gospel. It's the time's getting close, I think, for Christ coming back. And or even, we don't know how long we have. Teach us to redeem the time, Lord, to walk circumspectly, like a tightrope walker, walk carefully in our lives. And teach us more and more to walk in your spirit, and we won't fulfill lust of the flesh. And anything done here, Lord, is for your glory. And also, Lord, I want to thank you for Steve and lift him up. Thank you for what a wonderful job he's did through the winter months. And I pray you continue to just use him till in April when I come back and start doing the study. So we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So thank you all for coming out. We had a nice special guest. And we have a song from our Grace Canaries. I got a new name for them every week. Yeah, they always.
In our handbooks, the church handbooks is in page 172, and the song is At Calvary.